Hi, everyone. We're glad you could join us for this week's episode of Wade in the Water.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of Wade in the Water. Today's episode will close out our Unit 3 study entitled Lord of the Harvest.
This week's lesson title is Celebrate God's Bounty. And the central question is, how can I give thanks for all that God has done?
Good morning. Our scripture today is Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11.
When you have entered the land the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household.
We return again this week to the Old Testament, where we find in the book of Deuteronomy the Israelites preparing themselves to enter the land promised to their ancestors. One of the things we have to remember about the Israelites is that they have been called to be holy, set apart for being a priestly people. That means the people of Israel will be God's ambassadors, God's representatives to the people the Israelites will encounter. That is their mission, their job, to represent God. But in order to accomplish that mission, the people of God can't be like the people they encounter. They have to be different because God is different. That's why there is such an emphasis on ethics and morals and behaviors. The people have to live like God wants them to live because they are representing God. And part of that being like God is bound up with their generosity.
It's not hard to think about Thanksgiving when talking about God's bounty and giving thanks to God. I read Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11, and understand that the basic theme is the reaffirmation of the covenant between God and the people of Israel. Commandments and the covenant code are not simply repeated. They are reinterpreted in contemporary terms so that every worshiping Israelite can understand the promises and demands of the covenant. The purpose of Deuteronomy is to present the laws of God by which Israel must live as a community. Through obedience to these laws, the nation will enjoy certain blessings that demonstrate their special covenant relationship to God.
So today's story takes place on the eastern edge of the Jordan River. So let's talk about how we got here. So Moses has led the Israelites through the Red Sea, away from the oppression and the slavery that they were facing in Egypt. Then the Israelites spend a year at Mount Sinai. While they are there, they agree with God to follow all these laws of the covenant. Once they leave Mount Sinai, the Israelites spend the next 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. And then finally, they reach the Jordan River, which is right across from the land that God has promised, the land of milk and honey, also known as the land of Canaan. And while on the banks of this Jordan River, Moses gives this speech to the people. Tim Mackey compares it to a pep talk to the people before they cross the Jordan and they enter into this new promised land. In the first three verses of our lesson, Moses tells the people as soon as they are settled into the land, they are to give back to God. Verse 2 says, Take some of the first fruits of all you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. Verse 4 says, "The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God." And by setting this basket down at the altar, this is a way of saying it belongs to God. So it sounds like Moses is saying that you should rejoice because God has come through on all of his promises. He has done what he said he would do, and this is just a small token of our, gratitude.
This chapter is an expression of thankfulness for God's grace in the giving of the promised land. It recognizes that all Israelites were beneficiaries of God's care, which had transformed slaves into free and prosperous citizens. The Israelites of long ago recognized the connection between their faith and the land on which they grew their crops and the nature and purpose of God.
You know, when you think about it, being grateful and giving are connected.
As we talk about giving, you have to know that gratitude and giving go hand in hand. The more grateful we are, the more likely we are to give.
If you are grateful for what you have, you're more likely to give. And we should be grateful. And we should take some of our blessings that God has provided for us. And we should look for people that need our help. Moses explained to the Israelites in verse 2 that the very land that they grew that fruit from was a gift from God, and they should be grateful and give back. And again, it's the same thing in our lives. Everything that we have are gifts from God, and so we too should give gratefully to the many causes that need our support.
We are all so fortunate to be living in America today. None of us in our church families go lacking for anything. We all have our wants and our dreams, but none of us goes to bed hungry or in a cardboard box to sleep. We all need to faithfully practice what Deuteronomy tells us to do. When we get a raise in our income, sometimes it's not much, but it's more than some other people might have. We need to give a raise to the church and the missions that we support. My favorite mission here at home is our food pantry, for I know there are people right here in Four Oaks who go to bed hungry some nights.
Moses calls for the Israelites to remember how God has always been there for them. He calls for them to remember how he has always provided for them. In verse 5, he tells them that they should say this to the Lord, "My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous." Moses is talking about Jacob, who was later called Israel. And Moses says, "But as time passes, the Egyptians started mistreating us and making us suffer and subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice, and he saw our misery, he saw our toil and our oppression." Moses is telling the Israelites that they should reflect on all those stories from the Exodus. And in verse 8 it says, "So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders." In this verse, Moses is referring to the 10 plagues that God used against the Egyptians to free the Israelites. And then finally in verse 9, Moses says, "He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So in these verses, in verses 4 through 9, Moses is calling the Israelites to remember.
A few lessons ago, I mentioned briefly how reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy was difficult for me when I was a teenager because of this great big cultural gulf between them and us. And it is a huge cultural gulf. But as you get older and you hear and understand more of your own history, you realize that the struggles of these people and their doomed and determined attempts to be holy are the foundation of modern life. Everywhere the Ten Commandments are read, the conversations between God and the people of Israel seep into the 21st century. I just wanted to mention a portion of that second verse that still carries through to the 21st century, at least for now. "Take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name." Names are important in this culture, A few lessons ago, we mentioned the name changes that sometimes happen in the Bible when people undergo a life shift. Abram becomes Abraham, Jacob becomes Israel, Simon becomes Peter, Saul becomes Paul. And throughout the Old Testament, I could give you a bazillion citations where somebody calls on the name of the Lord. So the Lord's name is the most important name, of course. Go to the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for His name. In ancient Israel, that meant the tent of meeting where the ark was kept, or the place where the Levites prayed and offered sacrifices. And much later, it meant the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon built at the height of Israel's power. To us, here in the 21st century North Carolina, that still means the church. It's kind of a funny dichotomy because we Christians believe, of course, that Jesus Himself was and is the last and only temple where God meets world, and that wherever the Holy Spirit is, there the church is. It is not a building in Jerusalem, it is not a building anywhere. Yet at the same time, despite that, we still gather in one place together to lay our gifts on the altar and call on the name of the Lord, just like these people in Deuteronomy. After the pandemic, there's been some discussion about whether that's still necessary. Employers have realized they don't need a brick-and-mortar building to do business, and at the WMU retreat at Caswell, Mom and I got the sense that churchgoers all over the U.S. are asking themselves this too. Here's the caution. In establishing a dwelling place for His name, God created this idea. All of the Israelites are accountable to all the other Israelites for their actions. They may not sit alone in their houses on their land and do what is right in their own eyes. They may not hoard wealth and land to the detriment of all others. They owe a duty to their country, to the land, to their neighbors, to the disadvantaged among them, and they owe a duty to God. This idea still lives. The place where God's name dwells is the place where two or more go to call on His name, not just to pay these dues, which are always outstanding, but to remember that you owe dues at all. It's easy to convince yourself that your four walls are the world. I'm especially guilty of this. I love my home. I love the fact that I have control over every inch of it, the dress code, the decor, the noise level, the temperature, contents of the refrigerator, and the music, which is very important. Every man's house is his castle. And as we go into year 2022, I guess, my prayer is that as long as we have to contend with the risks and dangers of this virus, that God will use all the tools at His disposal to reach us wherever we are and remind us that we should always return to the place where His name dwells to thank Him. He does not necessarily need it, but we do.
Let's flash forward to the present day. Can we somehow relate all of this and the history of the Israelites to our own lives? With all the conversation about history today, we can assume that history is important to God. I read a quote the other day that states, God is not going to rewrite the Bible for our generation. We don't need to change Scripture. It's written to change us. We never need to forget the hardships and struggles. It's part of our history. Lessons are learned as we consider the connections between the ancient rituals and our own ways of thanking God for the blessings we enjoy.
These verses tell us that we should really think about who we invite to our table. Verse 11 says, "Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household." So it's a time of celebration and a time for rejoicing for everyone, for you, for the Levites, and for the foreigner in your land. For many people, the holidays is a time of despair. Although we say each day is a blessing from God, each day does not always feel like it. This scripture is telling us that we should remember those who are suffering, whether it's physical or mental, or whether it's financial. God says this is a time for rejoicing for everyone, so share your blessings and be a blessing.
We should think about all people and remember there are people around us who are grieving and probably not feeling thankful. Our job during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season is to give people hope.
I want to share a passage with you guys from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus has been invited to eat at a Pharisee's house. Listen to what Jesus tells the Pharisees about who we should be inviting for dinner. Luke 14, verse 12. "Then Jesus said to the host, When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or even your rich neighbors. Because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Bringing a sacrifice, retelling the story, giving thanks, and sharing with others are key aspects of Israel's ancient first fruits ritual. So what about our acts of gratitude today?
But generosity is understood as first to God. God is first to be given to and expects the first of what we have, what we grow, what we earn, what we possess. If we go all the way back to Genesis 4, in the chapter about Cain and Abel, the text tells us that Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. It seems the difference was that Abel brought the first of what he had, and Cain did not. This first theme will be touched on by the Apostle Paul, who will later write in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You can't get more first than first giving ourselves to God. But the offering we give to God should be accompanied with praise. If we simply give because we should, then maybe we misunderstand worship and giving and generosity. All of those are done because we are thankful.
As we all prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday, let's reflect on times of God's guidance, protection, and provision for us. I think this lesson is saying that rituals do matter. We don't have to wear certain robes, use candles, or chant words. Families usually come up with their own customary ways to celebrate holidays that are meaningful and remembered for years to come. I know I have great memories of family gatherings with cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, and grandparents, and I really miss those times. But times change and we develop our own rituals to keep our family and friends close. We all have heard people say, Jesus is the reason for the season. I always say, Jesus is the reason for all seasons. So no matter the gathering, we should give thanks to God for the many blessings in our lives.
You know, as we gather for Thanksgiving, we should probably do the same thing. We should take a minute to reflect on our own personal journey. We should remember how God has guided us and how God has blessed us right up to this very hour. So this year, take some time with your family to reflect on family of the past. Celebrate all those Granny Trudies and Grandpa Miltons that are a part of your story. Reflect on some of those moments in your life that led you to where you are in your faith. Thanksgiving should be a time to remember.
Samantha has given us a few questions to ponder as we work on our podcast each week. One of the questions I have read and pondered this week is, should we thank God only for tangible blessings, and should we offer only tangible sacrifices? Or does God want something deeper from us? When I think of questions like this, I think about my children and grandchildren. Nikki and I often tell them, we don't need gifts, we just want your love and time. I know that when I spend time with God, it changes me, it blesses me. God teaches a lot through our children. We will never really understand the full scope of God's love for us, nor will our children really understand our love for them. But we are thankful for the blessings of love. I love conversion stories and heard one this week about a young boy who attended a school where I worked as a secretary. He was a mess. You might say he was destined to be a failure, but as my friend read his Facebook posting, we were amazed at what we were hearing. I feel sure he's probably in his 30s now, but we were almost in tears as we read his story. Who made such a difference in his life, I wondered. Then Jesus was mentioned, and we knew it was a conversion story, much like the story of Zacchaeus. The young boy I've mentioned was nothing like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a disillusioned rich man, and this young boy just had a bad life in all areas. But the outcome was the same because they were transformed when they both met Jesus, and giving became a special part of their lives. Zacchaeus and this young boy have taken time to reflect on their previous lives and are thankful for God's love and grace. Just like the Israelites, they were reflective of their history and God's sovereignty over that history. The Israelites remembered the 40 years of misery in the wilderness and all the times they wondered if their God had deserted them. But we know the end of that story. They all learned to give, reflect, and be thankful.
Most everyone is more free to give during the holidays. However, there are needs 24/7. When we all give just a little of our bounty, it adds up to help the less fortunate. We all need to have a time of thanksgiving every day, for we are all so blessed to live where we do. The Lord has given us so much.
I don't have a fun, exciting story to share tonight, but I will share that as I sit here and ponder my life, I am most thankful for the people in my life who love me. I am fortunate to say that I have always felt loved. My parents were the best at showing me love, taking me to church, and guiding me toward Jesus. I told you about my brother last week. We are still soulmates. And my husband is the most valuable player in my life. He makes me feel loved every minute of the day, and I love him right back. I could continue, but I want to interject here that the young boy I mentioned earlier shared that his daddy only told him once during his whole life that he loved him. Only once. So I'm praising God tonight for the love he gives to all people. Yes, this young boy was a mess in school, but his Father in heaven turned that mess into a miracle.
As the book of Deuteronomy closes, Joshua takes over as the leader, and he is like the new Moses. And then one of the most heartbreaking and disappointing events to me personally in all the Bible, Moses climbs a mountain so he can see the promised land, and there he dies. But in our lesson today, Moses reminds us what Thanksgiving's all about. It's a time for giving. It's a time for sharing our bounty with those who are hurting. It's a time to remember. It's a time to slow down and just take a good look at our lives, as well as the family members that are no longer with us. But most of all, it's a time of thanksgiving, a time to be grateful, a time to say thank you for all the Lord has done.
This Thanksgiving, my prayer of thanks goes to the people who enrich our lives, the beauty of the world around us, for the ways God has sustained us in the past, and for the hope he gives us for the days ahead. Thank you, God. We are your people, and we are blessed.
Several years ago, I preached a sermon entitled, Thankfulness is Next to Godliness. Being thankful seems to get us close to God. Giving thanks to the one who has given us good gifts. Thankfulness leads us to a right relationship with God. And of course, this week, we will be intentionally mindful of what we are thankful for as we stop to give thanks. So may the words of Psalm 100 prepare us for thanksgiving and for giving our first to God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his thankfulness to all generations. Amen.